An American engineer called Willis Carrier cracked the cooling problem. He invented a machine that could cool and dry hot, moist air by making it wet. First, it injected a fine mist of cold water into a chamber. Next, it sucked hot, soggy air into this cold mist. Seen close up, something remarkable happened. As the hot air hit the surface of the cold water, the air cooled down and released its moisture onto the droplets. Thus, the air was cooled and dried in a single step. Carrier's invention was the perfect solution to the heat problem in the UN building.
Once you have air conditioning, you no longer needed to be near windows. So suddenly you could build skyscrapers with enormous floor plates. And so air conditioning allowed for these buildings that are really, really massive. So all of these things together made the building pay to its maximum.
Air conditioning allows skyscrapers like the Burj Dubai to rise up in even the hottest climates. And there is hardly a place on Earth where air conditioning matters more than Dubai. Temperatures easily reach 40 degrees Celsius in the shade. The average humidity is 90%, a truly extreme environment for a skyscraper. The key to shielding the Burj Dubai from the brutal desert sun is built into its glass skin.
The air conditioning couldn't keep up if we just used normal glass. Well, this is an actual piece of the glass that we're using on the building. We have an outside face, an inside face. So what the outside coating does is reflects the daily solar heat that comes direct from the sun and would pass into an apartment or an office.
The outside pane is coated with a thin layer of metal. Like sunscreen, the metal coating deflects ultraviolet radiation that would otherwise heat up the building. But the sunscreen is useless against the infrared that radiates from the hot desert sand. So the inner pane is coated with a thin layer of silver that keeps the heat rays out. Over 30,000 glass panels, enough to cover 17 football fields, will protect the Burj Dubai from the scorching heat. Air conditioning allowed ever more people to work more comfortably inside skyscrapers. And taller skyscrapers, housing more workers, offered greater profits. The only problem was that bigger skyscrapers took much longer to build. To reach the dizzying 470 meters of the World Trade Center, engineers had to invent a new, much faster way of building skyscrapers. Long before the Twin Towers in New York became the tallest buildings in the world, their developers faced a mammoth problem. The minute they started construction, the clock would start ticking. Every day their building was unfinished would cost them dearly. So they had to work out how to reduce the construction time to the absolute minimum. The solution they came up with was to prefabricate sections of the towers and assemble them like a giant jigsaw puzzle. They built the sections off-site and shipped them to the tower's construction site precisely when they were needed. The only problem was how to lift the super-heavy 50-ton sections into place quickly enough.
These buildings were higher than anything that had been constructed in the past. So, naturally, we cast our eyes about the world to see what was there and what might be better suited to the project.
The team found a revolutionary crane in Australia. It could lift 50 tons, and four of them could reach into every corner of a twin tower. And once they had assembled three floors, an amazing thing happened. The bottom of the crane released, then slid up three stories and locked back into place. And then the whole crane jumped itself up to the next level. That's why it was called the Kangaroo Crane.
They were fast. They had some defects. They spread a lot of oil around, so it was a constant cleanup operation after them and so forth. But they were fast and quite reliable.
With the help of the prefabricated sections and the jumping kangaroo cranes, the Twin Towers took shape rapidly. The builders managed to finish up to two floors every week. In 1970, World Trade Tower 1 became the tallest building in the world. And while even more floors appeared at the top, tenants moved in at the bottom. Time is money. On the Burj Dubai, the kangaroo crane is still the crane of choice. Here the builders have taken prefabrication to a new level. The key to speed is a new technology called jump forming. The process starts at the bottom of the building. Steel workers assemble steel cages that will become the backbone for the floors and walls of the Burj Dubai. The kangaroo cranes hoist the steel cages up and slot them into special molds called jump forms. In goes the concrete, and 12 hours later, when the concrete hardens, the form gets ready for the jump. Hydraulic pistons push the form up, leaving the concrete block behind. It takes only 2 hours for the form to move up to the next level, where the process starts all over again. This way, the Burj Dubai is cast in place, layer by layer, like a giant wedding cake. But delivering concrete to the top of the tower gets more difficult with every floor. It's 5 o'clock, and the men on the day shift go home. But on the top of the Burj Dubai, the casting crew are waiting for the concrete to arrive.
What we're standing on right now will be the 155th floor. So we're going to pour some walls tonight.
Below, workers prepare the pumps. They need 630 horsepower pumps to cope with the 25 tons of concrete contained in each pipe. And they're about to pump this concrete higher than anyone has ever done before. An amazing challenge for the pumping system.